For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
It's done. Let's give the worship team one more hand because they deserve it. They work hard. You guys don't see how much they practice, and they're talented and good looking, especially this Chad guy over here. Very good looking. Thank you, buddy. So anyway, I hope you guys are doing good. You guys excited? Pumped? So I am making no promises tonight. I don't know how it's going to go. It could go really bad. I have no idea. But the one thing I am promising is we're going to get through the book of James. We're going to be done tonight, all right? So yay. How many of you guys wanted to stay in it forever? Of you guys, it's a good book. I mean, honestly, I think that the book of James addresses a lot of issues that I have personally, so I like it. I appreciate it, and it has helped me a lot. I think one of those issues is the focus issue, right? And so now I'm looking for my notes. There they are. They're good. We're good. Dropping things. But tonight we're going to get through. So we're in James chapter 5. And we've been through James 1, 2, 3, 4, and now we're in 5. We're going to finish. And if you missed any of the James series teachings, you can go back online. You can watch them. And, you can just go through it with us. But we're going to get through it. So I'm excited. I was also thinking, I always prepare my message. Then I pray over it. Then I listen to music and kind of get in the mode. And when I'm doing that in the back, I'm also partly listening to the worship, and I feel like God, like, just shows me things, and I don't know, if it's always something I should share, but I think this one is important. I was thinking about the Bible, and I don't want to insult anybody who has a biblical degree. I don't think that it's a bad thing necessarily, but I think it can be dangerous when people start to treat the Bible as simply a textbook, right? If people get a biblical degree and they get a theology degree and they have the right mindset, then that's a really good thing. But I think there's a lot of people that treat the Bible as a textbook, and it's not meant to be a textbook. It has much more in common with a telephone than it does a textbook. And when I say that, this is a means of communicating with God. It's a means of when we open up the Bible and look at it. There should be a window and there should be a mirror, right? The window is to see beyond what the words are and to see what God is showing us. And the mirror is reflective of what he's showing us and how we should change our lives and how we should apply it. And I remember years ago, I kind of fell off the horse a bit because I realized that I was teaching the Bible, but I wasn't trying to live it. I wasn't trying to practice it. And I think part of practicing the Bible becomes difficult when we overcomplicate it, right? When we make it into something that it's not, when we overthink it. And I fear for people that are in Bible school right now, because I think that sometimes you can just think about the Bible too much instead of learning to obey it. There's a Hebrew word for obey. The word is shama. It's sometimes spelled S-A-M-A, sometimes spelled S-H-A-M-A, Shama. And it means to listen, to hear, and to obey. And there's three parts to that, right? The listening part is just paying attention, like you guys are paying attention tonight. The hearing is actually understanding what's being said, right? And then the obey part is the actual application and doing something about it. And so tonight, when we finish, as we finish, what we're going to do, and those of you that are online, you can do this at home, but what we're going to do here is I'm going to pray at the end, I'm going to say amen, and then I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to connect with God and practice some of the things that we're learning in this scripture. And I'm going to make it very clear and very simple. Well, I'm not going to make it clear and simple. James already made it clear and simple. I'm just going to tell you what he said. All right? And it's really cool because we can practice this together as a church, as we should, right? It's good that we come here and we sing songs together. It's good that we worship together. it's good that we listen together, but we also need to make sure that church attendance and Bible studies and all these things that we do, that the whole point stays in play. And the point is that we are able to connect with God the Father, the God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob, right? That the God who created absolutely everything. And we're able to connect with him because of what Jesus did for us, right? And so we cannot take that for granted. We have to remember that that's the point of it. The point is always relationship. The point is always picking up the phone, dialing God's number, and probably listening before we speak, right? And so that's what we're doing tonight. We're going to hear what God has to say. So let's pray, and let's ask God to help us to connect, right? He's here. He's on the phone. He's ready to speak, but sometimes we need our signal to be boosted a little bit, right? To use a cell phone example, but we need that. So let's pray for that right now. Father, I thank you for everything that you do. Lord, I thank you for the difficulties in life. I thank you for the blessings. I thank you for the family members that we love and like to hang around. I thank you for the family members that we have a hard time with. I thank you for the work environments that we are in. Lord, I thank you for COVID. God, I thank you for everything that has been thrown at us. And some of it's from you, some of it's not. But Lord, you've allowed us to go through these things so that we can get closer to you. And so I pray, God, that we would do that. I pray, Lord, that we would hear your word, that we would listen first, hear it, and then obey, God, and follow it. And just do our best. Help us to do our best, Lord. And I pray that tonight you'd speak to us and help us to hear exactly what you're saying to us individually and what you're saying to us as a church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so James chapter 5, 12 through 20 is what we're going to 100% get through tonight. And just unless I fall over dead, which could happen. So that's the only way it's not going to happen. But James 5, 12. I'm going to read that. We're going to go through it, and then I'm going to continue going on. Okay. So if you haven't been here, you don't know the format. I just read a verse, and it's verse by verse, comments on it, and go. So if you guys, most of you guys know that, but in case you don't, so we're going to start with James 5:12. It says this. It says, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear." Now this doesn't mean cussing. Okay. It means don't make an oath, right? It says either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment, okay? So James is echoing something that was spoken to the disciples from his brother Jesus, right? So Jesus says this in Matthew 5:33-37. He says, "Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord," right? "But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil." So Jesus is saying, okay, and I think that it was a strong tradition back then. We've kind of lost the tradition of making vows and oaths, right? I don't know, we all probably did if we got married, we made vows and oaths, but rarely do we meet business with somebody and say, okay, we're gonna make a vow right now. We do contracts, we sign contracts, right? We shake hands, we make promises to people. But what Jesus is really saying here is don't be so sure of your commitments because they could get in the way of other things. So, for example, if you said, "Hey, I'm going to go next week out of town on business, and I know that it's going to work out. It's going to be really good, a really good opportunity that I have, and it's going to happen Friday from 8 o'clock. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go make a good deal, and I'm going to come back." Jesus would say, "Plan it, okay? Go for it, but also realize that those plans could change." Say instead, and James talks about this. He says, instead of saying that, say, "If the Lord wills, I'm going to go Friday and I'm going to make a good deal. I hope that this happens." Okay. And the reason we do that is so people will trust you more, right? You want to make sure that you're a trustworthy person. Now, integrity leads to trust, right? If you're an integral, if you have integrity, if you do what you say you're going to do, right, then you have integrity and people will trust you more. And if people trust you more, you're going to have more opportunities to influence them, even to follow the Lord and follow the kingdom of heaven, follow Jesus, right? And so that's important for us not to just go crazy with our promises. You guys know the type, right? And some of you are the type. You know that you've struggled with it. But you know the type. You have great intentions, wonderful intentions. And you say, okay, you tell your kids, hey, guys, we're going to go to Disneyland next month on this day, right? And I do the same thing. I'm telling my kids, we're going to go to Disneyland. What I should say is, hey, I think we're going to Disneyland. We're planning on going to Disneyland. And I hope we get to go to Disneyland. Let's just pray and make sure this is good and make sure that it's of God. But the idea is just don't get ahead of yourself. Don't be somebody who always promises and not delivers, because if you do, then the opposite is true too. Lack of follow through equals distrust, and distrust equals less opportunity to spread the gospel and to share about Jesus, right? People either trust you or they don't, and they trust you based on what you say and what you do. And so I have these facts that I wrote down. They're biblical facts about commitment. I'm going to share those with you. So the first one I've kind of already mentioned, but the first one is definitive statements are for fools. Definitive statements are for fools as far as our lives go, right? So look at James 4, 13 through 15. It says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. I already mentioned this. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You don't even know. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. So just be careful with your definitive statements. That's the point of this. Don't promise things. I mean, really, just don't promise things. That's really the best. Promise that God will be good. Promise that, you know, that the Bible is true. Promise things that you know are true, but don't promise that you yourself are going to come through, because you just don't know what tomorrow has for us, right? The second fact is that all behaviors stem from predictions. Because nobody knows the future, all of our behaviors, they stem from predictions. We think this is going to happen, so we do this. Look at this this really interesting scripture in Acts chapter 1. This is after Jesus dies, after he resurrects from the dead, and he's speaking to his followers, okay? They are in the upper room, and he's speaking to them, and they're asking him a question, and he's giving them an answer. And here's what it says. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? So what they're asking there is they're asking Jesus, are you going to now deliver us from this Roman rule and make us a nation again? Are you going to do that? Because that would be great if that would be like the icing on the cake, Jesus, if you would do that, right? And Jesus looks at them and has to be frustrated at this point, because he just died and rose again from the dead. He had just defeated death, okay? Defeated the devil, defeated everything that could be thrown at us. And they're still wondering what's going to happen to their country. They were patriotic, all right? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs, or times or seasons, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. It's not for you to know. But, okay, instead of worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. And that's what matters. You'll be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. So instead of like predicting what's going to happen tomorrow and basing our behavior off of that, a better option for us, a much better way to live for us, and this isn't natural for a lot of us because we haven't practiced it, but a better way is to live by the Holy Spirit and ask God, what do you have for me today? Holy Spirit, what are you leading me to do? How are you leading me to live? What do you have for me today? And if you do that and you're led by him, you will start making better decisions, because God knows the future, because he knows what's around the corner, and you'll be shocked at the outcome, because you won't even really know how you're making such good decisions, but you're following him and it's just working. That's how God works. Believe it or not, he likes to be trusted, right? The third fact about commitment is that doing the right thing is simple. Doing the right thing is simple. Look at James 5:17. Okay, we've already covered a lot of these verses in the last few weeks, but it says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. That's, I gave you guys the wrong verse. Look at James, we're ahead of ourselves. James 4:17. Yeah, 4:17. Sorry. Okay, you guys didn't. I'll just read it from the Bible. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him is a sin. Okay? So, most of the time, not always, but most of the time we know what we're supposed to do. We know the right thing to do. When life hits you with a decision, you know, right? Sometimes you don't, but usually you do. And when you do, it's simple. You don't have to try to justify the wrong thing. You just have to do the right thing. It takes too much energy. How many of us are wasting so much energy arguing with God and ourselves, right? Arguing with what we know is right. How many of us are just wasting time and energy doing that? It's exhausting. I know so many people that have struggled in the past with doing anything. They're paralyzed because they can't move forward, because they can't make a decision, because they simply just don't want to do what they know they ought to do. Right? And so they're trying to find another way. Even Jesus, when he was being led to the cross, before the night before, he prayed and asked God if there's another way. That's fine. But then God basically said, no, there's not another way. This is the way. And so Jesus said, okay. And he moved on. It's okay to question, but don't keep questioning day in and day out, right? Don't get in a cycle of questioning. Don't get in a place where all you do is question, because then you'll end up going nowhere. You guys ever dried your clothes in the dryer? It just spins and spins and spins, right? Don't be the clothes in your dryer. I don't know where that came out of. But the fourth commandment on facts is this. Obedience is better, okay? Psalm 46 says this. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. So God, this is speaking to the Lord. You have not desired sacrifice and meal offering. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Do you guys have the next verse by any chance? I think I didn't give you the next verse. Sorry. I really messed up those guys back there. But basically, there it is. Good job. You guys are amazing. Okay. So then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. That's not right either. I'm turning into my dad. What's going on here? What? Turn 40, and that's what happens. At least I'm not blaming him. All right, so fortunately, I have another verse. 1 Samuel 15:22, same thing. Okay, so 1 Samuel 15:22 says, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord, okay? Behold, this is the part that I want you to see. To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. Say that with me. To obey is better than sacrifice. And the word obey, guess what the word is? It's what I told you at the very beginning. It's the word shama. It means to listen, to hear, and to obey, right? So if you want to know how to follow the Lord, first, you got to pay attention to him, right? It's that simple. Second, you've got to take what he says seriously. And third, you've got to attempt to apply it to your life. You've got to attempt to go out and do it. To obey is better than sacrifice. A lot of us, you know, we make sacrificial moves in our lives. We'll give something, or we will, come to church. We feel like we're giving, or we go to like a service project. And those are great. Those are great. Those are all exercises that we can do to get closer to God, to remind ourselves that we should be givers. Those are great things to do. But that does not replace simple obedience, right? And listening to God and following him, right? So moving on, we're going to go to James 5:13-16. We're going to get through it, I promise. 13 through 16, it says this. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So I'm going to break this down simply, and then we're going to practice this stuff tonight, okay? You're going to have an opportunity to practice it. So basically, James lists, kind of covers everyone. He covers every single kind of person, and he gives them a marching order at the end of his book here. Very simple, right? And I love it. First, he says, those who are suffering, okay? Those who are having a difficult time and are suffering. And to those, he says, pray. Come to God. Give him your burdens and ask for his will and his heart in return, right? You pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come into my life. Your will be done in my life. Let that crash into my life, into my being, and overtake it. That's how you pray, right? God, change me, transform me, make me into the person that you've always wanted me to be, right? That's how we pray. So if you're suffering, go to God and let him change your mindset and give you a new perspective, and you will suffer less, right? The second thing that James mentions here is those who are doing well, okay? Those who are cheerful, who are doing well. And for those of you that are doing well, he says, sing praises. Praise God. Thank him. When's the last time that we're like, man, it's a good day. Thank you, God. Right? Instead of thank you, me, because I must be doing something right. Right? No, thank God because he blessed you with that. Right? He blessed you with this day or this week or this month. He blessed you with those good relatives. He blessed you with those friends. He blessed you with the church. He blessed you with health. Right? That's not everyone, but it's some of you. The third group of people that he is speaking to is those who are sick. Those who are sick. And he says, and unfortunately, not everyone who's sick is here because they're sick, right? But it says, those who are sick receive prayer from the church. And there's different types of sickness. There are cancers, and there are heart issues, right? And there are sicknesses that will last a long time unless God intervenes, right? And then there are simple sicknesses where you're going through something, you know, whatever it is. And then there are mental sicknesses. There are things that go on in our brains. And those are, I think, just as prevalent and just as bad. And we have to acknowledge those things. And it says to this group that is sick, it says, receive prayer from the church. And so tonight, you guys might want to wear masks, but tonight the prayer people are going to come up. And those of you that are dealing with something, come up and get prayer. Okay? Father, I pray that nobody would get sick from that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. We're good. We're covered. It's going to be all right, right? But this is what church should be. We should be a family. We should be taking care of each other, right? The fourth group of people is those who are struggling with sin. And it speaks to those people to confess their sins. Now, first of all, this makes some people nervous, right? Some of you all don't trust people, right? You especially don't trust people in the church because you've been stabbed in the back, and I understand that. So let me just clear this up and make it simple. First of all, if we're going to confess our sins to others, you don't need to share every detail, okay? You just don't. We don't need to know. I've had people just tell me everything, and I just was like, okay, that I only need enough to know what to pray over. I don't need every detail, all right? So if you tell me something, it stays with me. It's safe with me, but at the same time, I just don't need to go to bed thinking about every nasty, weird thing that you've done, all right? it's funny, but seriously, just keep the details to a minimum. But when you come up, just say, hey, I'm struggling in this area, and I need prayer, and get prayer. There's something about just acknowledging it. There's something about just saying it, because it shows that you're ready to deal with it, that you're ready to give it up. Some of you guys might want to come up and get prayer from somebody tonight for that reason. Some of you guys might want to come right up and just kneel at the altar and leave it there. And say, God, I acknowledge this sin that you've been talking to me about. I'm going to leave it here. And I'm going to walk away 100% cleansed. Because I've already been cleansed because of what you've done for me. right? I'm acknowledging that fact, and I'm walking away. We talk about shackles and chains a lot. The Bible talks about that a lot, and I think that some of us, we're not shackled, and we're not chained, but we think we are. We drape the handcuffs over our hands, and we think that we're stuck, because sometimes it's more comfortable to be stuck and not have to deal with your issues, right? But the truth is, you're free, and it's much better to be free and to walk away and be free, right? And have the confidence that comes with salvation. And the confidence that comes with somebody who has, like you know how like if somebody's getting picked on the schoolyard, and they get picked on, and then finally Big Brother shows up, and everyone stops picking on them because they're afraid of the Big Brother. Well, we have much more than a Big Brother, right? We have the God of the universe. And some of you guys are victims. Some of you guys have been hurt, you know, and are still being hurt. But know that God is with you, and have confidence in knowing that he will take care of you, right? And call upon him. How often, I mean, I know that it's a broken record, but how often do we do that? So the result of doing these things, okay? Let me share with you the result of doing these things. It seems silly, but the result of actually acting upon these things is obedience, first of all, but the result is health, growth, peace, restoration, freedom. These are the results that we should be having in church, right? And if you're going through something, take care of it, and then let's move on, right? 5:17 through 18 says this: Elijah was a man with our nature and like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months because Elijah prayed, right? And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. The point that I want you to see here is that Elijah prayed earnestly, which meant he prayed, watched. And you know what? That earnestness, that prayer of a righteous man, actually changed the weather. Changed the weather. Right? For some of you guys, it's been really sunny and smooth for you for too long, and you're in need of a storm. You're in need of a storm, okay? Some of you. Some of you guys have been tossed by the wind and waves so much, you are in need of a calming of the storm. I don't know where you're at tonight, but you probably need one of the two. And prayer is going to do it. Now, I know there's not a lot of motivation to pray for the storm. Instead, pray, God, help me to get through this next storm that I know will come, right? Prepare me now for what's in the future. That's smart people that do that, right? So James 5:19 through 20, I'm moving on because I got to finish, says this: My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth, and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So James finishes this by saying, go look for each other. Help each other out. And there's a lot of people out there who have done something wrong, or they believe that they don't belong anymore, or whatever lie they've been told, they just have bought into. And because of that, they have strayed from the fold. And James is saying, go and get them, because God did not reach his hand down and grab them and grab a hold of their life so that they could wander. God grabbed them because they're supposed to be a part of what this is here, right? And so this last scripture, this last part, made me think of sports, and how in sports there's not perfection, right? Michael Jordan was the best basketball player of all time, way better than LeBron James, right? I won't mention Kobe because that's a sore subject, and so I'm not even going to go there, but he was a great ball player, right? But he wasn't perfect. I remember he missed a couple shots, and you're like, shocked. You're like, wow, right? What if when Michael Jordan went to shoot a basket and he missed, what if the coach said, hey, Michael, you're out. Not just of the game. Go clean your locker, buddy. Go get in your car and leave. You're fired. You're done. Because he missed one basket. That would be stupid, right? That would be dumb. What if Wayne Gretzky, while he's out there playing hockey, he bumps into another guy and he gets a penalty because of it. And what if the coach came out and said, hey, Wayne, your parking spot is being replaced with someone else's right now. You're out. You're done. Get out of here. Right? What if penalties got people kicked out for good, right? That would be stupid. That would be horrible. And that doesn't even make sense. But why is it that in the church world, when someone makes a mistake, we say, you're out. You're done. Get out of here. You're done for good. Instead of saying, you made a mistake. You got to sit in the penalty box for a minute, but you can come back. Why do we discard those that God has called? I don't think we have a right to do that. Society is doing that now, right? We live in this cancel culture where society is saying, if you make one mistake, you're out, you're done. And you can see the work of the devil in that. You can see the work of, and some of these people do horrible things, and I'm not at all saying that that's okay. But in the church world, when people are misbehaving or doing something wrong, the church should huddle around them and help them get healed and help them get back in to at least some form of service and ministry, because it's about that connection. It's about being involved in the kingdom of heaven. And so I just want to encourage us, because I think that's how James ended this book. I want to encourage our church to be a church like that. And so we're going to finish tonight with this song. I know it's late. And so for those of you guys that have to go ahead and go. If you got your kids, whatever you got to do, that's fine. You can leave, but take care of business when you get home. Do what you got to do. But for those of you guys that want to stick around for this. So I'm going to pray. We're going to finish the live stream feed after I pray. And for those of you online, if you want to take a bit of time tonight or tomorrow morning, schedule it. Make sure it happens. I would prefer you do it tonight if you have time. Just spend a little bit of time with the Lord. And let me go through the list one more time so you know what it is in James. I think that's important. So the list again, if you're suffering, you pray. If you are doing well, you praise. If you're sick, you receive prayer from somebody. And you can reach out online and do that as well. And if you're struggling with sin, you just confess it. You can do that in many ways. You can email us. You can email me. Tell me all about it, but not the details, please. And I will pray for you, okay? So for those of you guys that are online, do that. For those of you guys that are here, stay and do business if you need to, okay? Let's pray this. Father, we thank you for your love, your support, your forgiveness, your ability, God, to lift us up. Lord, your ability to continue to move in our lives. And God, I just pray, Lord, that for every single person that's here tonight, that we would know what kind of business we need to take up with you, Lord. That we would know how to do that. We would know what to do. And we would just take the effort. We would just do that. And that you'd meet us, Lord, as we do that. I pray, Lord, for the courage, for the ability, for the energy, and just the boldness, Lord, that we need to do these things. Lord, we love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we're going to play a song. You guys can come up and get prayer. If you need to leave, you can go ahead and leave.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King.